Well, if you please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. Genesis 27. We are continuing with our series on famous mothers in the Bible for Mother's Day. You might say, well, wait a second, I didn't know we were doing a series on famous mothers. That's because you only get one of these a year, okay? So it's okay if you didn't remember that we've done a bunch of these. But so far in the series, we've looked at three famous mothers from the Bible. We've looked at Eve, the mother of all the living, Sarah, the laughing mother, and Hagar, the crying mother. And today we come to our fourth mother, Rebecca, the conniving mother. And we'll talk about what that's all about in just a few minutes. But in your bulletin, there's an insert with the outline of today's message. On the back, I've listed all four of the messages in this series so far, in case you wanted to go back and review any of the old messages, or in case you missed those. But as with all of these messages, even though the passages are mostly about mothers, and even though the messages are mostly directed towards mothers, because we are dealing with basic biblical principles, these messages apply to all of us. So whether you're a mother or a father, sister or brother, daughter or son this morning, this message is for all of us. It applies to us all. We're going to be looking at a number of different passages this morning, but to get us started, we'll go to Genesis 27, and I'm going to read from verses 6 through 13. Genesis 27, starting at verse 6. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at the story of Rebekah today, you've recorded this account for our benefit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be listening to what your Holy Spirit would say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So what does it mean to be a conniving mother, or a conniving husband or wife or son or daughter, for that matter? Let me give you some synonyms for the word conniving. Help us to understand this word a little bit better. Ready? Here we go. Devious, scheming, sly, crafty, deceitful, plotting, manipulative. Sounds like something right out of a spy novel, but in reality, it's something right out of our everyday lives. We're talking about Rebekah today. Rebekah was Isaac's wife. Isaac was Abraham's son. And Rebekah was so conniving that it really becomes her defining trait in Scripture. How would you like to have that on your gravestone? Beloved wife, loyal friend, conniving mother. Anybody want that on your gravestone? Obviously not. But we can't be too hard on Rebekah this morning, because this is something that all of us struggle with. We are all conniving to a certain extent, and we need to repent of that. Now, some of us are more conniving than others, and so we have more to repent of than others. But we're going to look at three areas in Rebekah's life where she was conniving, and the negative consequences that followed in her family as a result. All three are on the outline and in your bulletin, if you'd like to take that out to follow along. We're going to look at favoritism, manipulation, and dishonesty in the negative outcomes in Rebekah's family and ours. Favoritism leads to rivalries. Manipulation disrespects relationships. dishonesty prevents people from working out best solutions together. These are all parts of conniving, and if we want God's best for our families, we need to leave our conniving ways behind. So first of all, favoritism. Favoritism. You might wonder how favoritism ties in with conniving. Well, when we play favorites, we're usually not right out in the open with it. Some people are, but usually it's behind the scenes, isn't it? It's under the current. It's under the surface. Favoritism. Favoritism leads to rivalries. If you grew up with favoritism in your family, you already know how painful that can be. Unless you were the favorite, in which case you are most likely blissfully unaware. But either way, favoritism in families not only hurts us as children, but it continues to impact our relationships even as adults. In the first place to stop favoritism towards our children is within the marriage relationship itself. Moms and dads, be careful to preserve marital unity. One of the best gifts that you can give to your children is a strong marriage bond between husband and wife. Because when the husband and wife are not united, then this creates other divisions in the family as well. So let's turn to the book of Genesis now. Let's see what was going on with Isaac and Rebekah and with their marriage. We're going to go back a couple chapters now. Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verses 21 through 28. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her. And she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. And after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Okay, now here's our most important verse here. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And here we have the seeds of everything that went wrong with Isaac and Rebekah's family. Mom and dad were not united. They were both playing favorites, and they even chose different sons to favor. I'm not sure which is even worse, if mom and dad favored the same child, or if they picked different ones and squared off against each other. But either way, it's wrong, it's hurtful. It's hurtful to your kids, it's damaging to your family. So moms and dads, you need to be united, especially when it comes to the kids. Kids pick up on this pretty fast. And they know how to divide and conquer as well as any general in the army. And so that's your first step in guarding against favoritism. Be careful to preserve marital unity. But then you also need to be careful not to provoke sibling rivalry. Being united is great, but once again, if you are united together in your favoritism towards a certain child, then you're still going to end up provoking rivalries in your children. As we've seen, Isaac and Rebekah, they both played favorites, and the results were devastating to their family. So let's pick up the story now in Genesis 25, still picking up at verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. And he said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, got up and left. And so Esau despised his birthright. Now, neither Jacob nor Esau come out really, really good in this account, do they? Neither of them are doing what they should do. Jacob cheats his brother, takes advantage of him. Esau despises his birthright. But the real problem here is that they're not working together. They're not looking out for each other. And instead of raising sons who cared for each other and watched each other's backs, Isaac and Rebekah have created one huge mess between Jacob and Esau. Now, some kids are naturally competitive, and they may experience sibling rivalry even if their parents never play favorites. But if you're showing favoritism, that will only make things worse. And sadly, unless both children give this over to the Lord and give themselves over to the Lord, that rivalry will likely continue into adulthood. And there may even be a ripple effect where your children now go on to play favorites with their kids. And then that spreads this hurt to your grandchildren as well. And that's exactly what happened with Jacob and his children. Jacob grew up in a house where what? His parents played favorites. Well, guess what happens when Jacob becomes a father himself? He plays favorites too. We read about it in Genesis 37, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel, Jacob, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And although this command is especially given to fathers in this verse, it applies to mothers as well. It is a verse for all parents. The message is clear here. Parents, don't play favorites with your kids. Be careful to preserve marital unity. Be careful not to provoke sibling rivalry. That's our first point on conniving this morning, is that favoritism leads to rivalries. Okay, number two now. Secondly, manipulation disrespects relationships. Manipulation disrespects relationships. Husbands and wives, we are called together to a relationship of mutual love and respect. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Paul says, "Each one of you, husbands, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Well, when we practice manipulation and deceit, guess what? We are no longer loving and respecting each other. And unfortunately, as we shall see, Rebecca was a master manipulator. And we read more of her story now in Genesis 27. Genesis 27, verses 1 to 17. "When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son, here I am,' he answered. And Isaac said, 'I am now an old man. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow. Go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like. Bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die.'" Now, Rebecca was listening, right? Manipulative people do that a lot. They kind of listen to everything that's going on, right? Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. "When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, 'Jacob, look, I just overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some game, prepare me some food to eat, that I may give you my blessing. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock, bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father. I like this. Just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies.' Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'But my brother Esau is a hairy man. I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him. I would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. And his mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them, brought them to his mother. And she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. And then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house. She put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. And then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread that she had made. Now, there's so much going on in this passage, we can't look at all of it today. Notice a couple things. First of all, notice that when Rebekah shares this plot with her son, that Jacob doesn't object, "But Mom, that would be wrong." He doesn't say that, does he? Rather, he objects this way, "But Mom, what if I get caught? What if he notices what we're doing?" And she basically says, "Don't worry about it. I have thought of everything." And she really has. She has the most elaborate scheme here, a very well-orchestrated plot. Moms and dads and everyone, please listen to me. Don't try to manipulate people or situations around you. That was Rebekah's problem. She hears Isaac's ready to give Esau his blessing, and she just leaps into action, doesn't she? "Bring me the goats, Jacob, bring me the goats." She prepares a meal for Isaac just the way he likes it. Now you tell me, is she preparing Isaac his favorite meal because she loves him here? Is that why she's doing it? No. No. She's doing it because she wants something from him, right? She wants to manipulate him into giving his blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. How many times do we do something nice for someone, not because we love them, but because we want something? Anytime we do that, that is not love or respect. That is manipulation and deceit. It's interesting, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refused to use manipulation even for a good cause. Even for the very best cause of all, sharing the gospel. He refused to use manipulation. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:2, Paul says, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Or again, he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness." Don't try to manipulate people or situations around you. Rather, trust God. Trust God to fulfill his plans in his way and in his time. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, some of my favorite verses, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, on your own scheming, on your own plotting, on your own planning. Lean not on your own understanding. No, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, God had already told Rebekah that he was going to bless Jacob. Remember that? He told her that when the twins were still in her womb, before they were even born. God already told Rebekah he was going to bless Jacob. And you know what that means? It means Rebekah didn't need to do anything for God's plan to take place. And if she had simply trusted God, Jacob would still have received his blessing. I don't know how. We don't know how, because she didn't trust God, did she? But he would have. He would have received his blessing, and she would not have ended up disrespecting her husband. It's the difference between playing God and trusting God. Whenever you try to manipulate people or situations, what you are doing is you are basically playing God. You are trying to create an alternate reality where you get your way over someone else. And the problem is, you are not the creator. You are not God. God is. And playing God is exhausting. It's exhausting for everyone to be God except God. It's not tiring for him at all. But it's exhausting, manipulating, plotting, scheming. You need to trust God to fulfill his plans in his way and in his time. Time for a heart check. Are you a manipulator like Rebecca? Do you find yourself working behind the scenes to make things go your way? Do you plot and plan and disrespect other people in the process? Don't try to manipulate people or situations. Trust God to fulfill his plans. That's our second point this morning, is that manipulation disrespects relationships. So number one, favoritism leads to rivalries. Number two, manipulation disrespects relationships. And now number three, dishonesty prevents people from working out best solutions together. The Bible says that with many counselors comes wisdom. And so that means that when you are dishonest or misleading, or when you withhold information from another person, then you forfeit the benefit of their wisdom. And that is not wise. There's a funny scene in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Have you ever seen that movie? Great movie, funny movie. The mother is trying to manipulate the father into a certain decision. And her daughter, Tula, is worried. It's not going to work. Dad's not going to agree. And her mother tells her, "Let me tell you something, Tula. The man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And she can turn the head any way she wants to." And it's a funny line, and you know what? It all works out in the movie, but it doesn't work out that way in real life. In real life, dishonesty prevents people from working out best solutions together. And that's exactly what happens with Isaac and Rebecca. We're back in Genesis 27 now, verses 41 to 46. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, and then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob, said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you, when he forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" And then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women." You go, whoa, where did that come from? "If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." What's Rebekah doing here? Instead of sharing the problem directly with Isaac, "Isaac, our sons have a problem. Esau wants to kill Jacob." Instead of telling him what's going on, what does she do? She sidetracks. She misdirects. She deflects. She says, "I'm disgusted because of these Hittite women." No, she's not. She just wants Isaac's permission to send Jacob away. She is withholding information from Isaac. She is being dishonest about her feelings. Why? Because she wants to lead him to her preconceived solution instead of sharing fully with Isaac so that they can work together and they can work out the best solution together. And because Rebekah does this, the results are simply going to be devastating to both her and her family. But apart even from the negative results, and we'll get to those in just a moment, what Rebekah is doing is just wrong. The Bible tells us that deception is just as bad as lying, that it really is a form of lying in itself. We read in Proverbs 12:22, "The Lord detests lying lips. But he delights in men who are truthful. The word that's translated lying in this verse, it is a word that can mean either lying or deceitful. Sometimes it's translated lying. Sometimes it's translated deceitful. Why? Because they're the same thing. Deception is just as bad as lying because it is lying. And you can be deceptive without ever even speaking a word. We find a very striking example of this in the New Testament book of Acts. We read in Acts chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias sold a piece of property. He kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now notice, Ananias did not directly tell a lie. He just made it look like he brought all the money to the apostles. He was what we would call being deceptive. And yet Peter says that in reality, he had lied to God, he had lied to the Holy Spirit. And so as Christians, we need to commit to speaking the truth at all times. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor or husband or wife or children, for we are all members of one body. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It was Sir Walter Scott who said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And Galatians 6:7 tells us that those who deceive others are really deceiving themselves, because God will not be mocked, and a man reaps what he sows. Honesty is the best policy, not just because it is right, but also because it leads to the best solutions. Rebekah withheld information from Isaac, and as a result, she and Isaac were never able to approach the problem of Jacob and Esau together. And so Jacob goes off to Rebekah's brother in Haran, and it was decades before he returned. But by then it was too late. Rebekah had already died, which means she never saw her son again. Sometimes we learn from good examples in the Bible what we should do. Other times we learn from the bad examples what to avoid. Unfortunately, Rebekah's story is an example of the latter. Are you a conniving mother or father or daughter or son? Are you given to favoritism, manipulation, or dishonesty? If so, then you need to repent of your sin and ask God to help you, ask him to forgive you, ask him to change you, and ask him to begin healing the broken people and situations around you. Conniving hurts, not helps. When we connive and manipulate, we circumvent authority, we damage relationships, and we forego God's best for us. So we need to learn to trust God instead of play God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And folks, here is the cure for conniving. Jesus is the way. So follow his way, not your way. Jesus is the truth. So commit to speaking the truth at all times. And Jesus is the life, which means he offers you true, abundant life instead of the damage, the hurt, and the pain that that come from conniving. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I apologize in advance to Rebecca when I get to meet her in heaven for using her as a bad example today. But Lord, I pray, and I'm sure that she would agree, that we can learn from this story, from these accounts that you've given us in Scripture, and that we can avoid the same mistakes. So, Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning. I pray for moms and dads, for children. Lord, help us to give up our conniving ways. Help us not to play favoritism. Help us not to manipulate. Help us to be above board and honest and truthful at all times. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we come to the Father through you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.